Hello friends, today we are going to learn about evolution of human resource management in hospitals. Last time we had seen about human resource management, what you mean by that. We have seen the definition of Edwin Flippo for human resource management as a planning, organizing, directing, and controlling of the procurement, development, compensation, integration, maintenance, and separation of human resources to the end that individual, organizational, and social objectives are accomplished. We know what are the individual objectives. All the employees want better working conditions, better salary, training and development for personal development, etc. You know what are the organizational objectives, like better market cap, better profitability, better environment in the organization. And we know the societal objectives as the taking care of the handicapped people, specially abled people, taking care of the community at large. We also learned about what are the principles of HRM, what are the functions of HRM, and what is the significance of HRM last time. So today, we are going to learn about evolution of human resource management in hospitals, right? What we mean by evolution? Development. How human resource management has started right from beginning. So, why it is important for us to learn? Because by the year 2020, India added about 250 million to its labor pool at the rate of 18 million per year. This demographic dividend has drawn a new interest in human resource concepts and practices in India. So let us learn about the objectives of human resource management in hospitals. First of all, what we mean by evolution of HRM, then objectives of human resource management, prospects of HR as a profession in hospitals, and what is the role of HR in hospitals. These are the topics we are going to cover. Let's introduce this topic in the following way. HRM is the management of an organization's manpower or workforce or human resources. HRM evolved through various phases. Now, what are these phases? One was period before Industrial Revolution. As we know, Industrial Revolution is something which is very important in the history of the world. Initially, we were having mainly agricultural and craftsmen people who were managing the show. Then came the discovery of wheel, and then came the people started in a various developing various machines, etc., and the manufacturing industry and textile industry mainly started in the factories, because we wanted the workers to work in a large scale and the production to be made in a large scale for a huge population of the world. And this is how the HRM has also developed in three phases. One was period before the Industrial Revolution, then during the Industrial Revolution, and then comes period after Industrial Revolution. So let's understand how HRM evolved during the period before Industrial Revolution. The society, as we learned, was primarily an agricultural economy with limited production, and there were a number of specialized crafts. It was limited and was usually carried out within a village by craftsmen or community apprentices who were assisting the master craftsmen. There was a lot of artisans. There were a lot of, you know, home-based industries in those days, and people were having beautiful crafted articles, etc., and they were being exported also from India in a way. But it was basically in a community kind of people working and doing beautiful things. The communication channels were very limited. People used to talk to each other. There were no telephones, there were no televisions, there were no other mode of transport, and there was no other mode of communication in those days. So from one part of the country to the other part of the country, from one part of the city to the other part of the city, people were not knowing about what's being produced where and other things. So only by one-to-one contact, people were able to talk to each other, or they were sending the letters, etc. So let us understand the period of the Industrial Revolution itself, that is from 1750 to 1850. Now, that is the point of mark of conversion of the economy from agriculture-based industry to factory-based industry. There was modernization and increased means of communication gave importance to the industrial setup. Because of the excessive better communication, we could have various kinds of industrial setups all over, and the goods can be transported from one part of the country to the other, or even they can be exported via ship and other modes of transport which were being developed in those days. Emergence of personnel management tasks like workers' wages and salaries, record maintenance, housing facilities and healthcare has come up with the Industrial Revolution period. Why? Because in those days, the laborers from agriculture, they were shifting or migrating to various cities or towns where factories were set up. And these factories were set up mainly by private people. And naturally, the landlords or the factory owners, they were highly interested in amassing wealth by increased profitability. Now, as we can understand, when the factory owners want more profitability, they are going to exploit the labor, because that's a major capital, which is investment which they are doing in giving salaries and wages to the workers. As far as the products are concerned, naturally, they cannot change the rate of those products much. So what they used to do? They used to tell the workers to work for a long time. They used to pay them a meager salary or wages. They used to cut whenever they were absent. So there were no concept of leave for them. Even Sundays they were working. At times 10 to 12 hours or 14 hours a day, the labor used to work. And the working conditions were also not that good, because naturally the owners were not interested in welfare of the labor in those days, and they were not providing adequate facilities like canteen, water, toilet, etc., which is going to be investment for them as far as the money is concerned. To add more profits to themselves, naturally they were not interested in developing all these things for the labor, which led to lot of revolt in some of the labor people, and they started developing the union among themselves to fight for the better working conditions and better salary, etc., and which has led to the development of industrial relations managers to look after these aspects of the labor. And who were then interested in managing these labor's problems, and hence there was a concept of better workers' wages and salaries, record maintenance of the workers for how many days they remain absent and all that, and the record of their when they started, how many leaves they have taken, when they are going to retire, etc. may come, and even the housing facilities for them and healthcare of these workers, because some of the workers were getting sick every now and then, which was leading to lot of loss of production for the worker, for the managers. So with this concept, we saw that some of the very aggressive people who were interested in welfare of the workers became the union leaders, and there was a growth of the labor union which has started in 1790. Now there are major theories of HRM which has come up over a period of years. First and foremost was Frederick W. Taylor. He was considered to be father of scientific management, and he was in the manufacturing industry in Europe. So he started giving us the principles of scientific management from 1857 to 1911. He was there. That was when he was born, and he died. During his tenure in his company, he started recruiting the right skilled people and understanding what is the workflow and making it in such a way that minimum time is wasted and better production can occur. Then came, but it was more of a task oriented, of course, but of course he used to take care of the people as well by training them properly so that they become expertise, they develop expertise in one particular trade or in one particular work that they are doing, and hence they used to be more efficient in their work, and the productivity level was increasing. Then came the concept of Douglas MacGregor, who has given us theory X and theory Y in 1960. Of course, before that, Alton Mayo has done the studies of Hawthorne studies, which he thought, in fact, one of the factory who were producing tube lights and illumination lights, they thought that if we increase the illumination, we'll develop a better productivity. So they had done some experiments regarding that, and when they go on increasing the illumination level in the factory workshops, they found that the productivity was increasing. Then they started decreasing the illumination level. Then also the productivity was increasing to their amazement, but only when the illumination level was only up to moonlight, such a low light, then only the productivity decreased. Then they thought that it means that not only the illumination, but there are some other social factors which are responsible for higher productivity among the workers. They did two more experiments, and they found that it is basically the social factor, the group factor, which is more important among the workers. It is the group who develop certain norms for them, which is going to give them the productivity level for the whole group. So this is how Hawthorne studies is a major theory and a better advancement in the human resource management for us to understand, because we should learn how the people are going to behave while managing the people in the organization. And for that, Hawthorne studies are one of the pioneer studies. One should understand and learn in detail about these studies, which is going to help us in managing the people. Then comes Douglas MacGregor. In 1960, he developed theory X and theory Y. Now let us understand what is theory X theory X means here the managers feel that the workers are lazy. They don't want to work. They are not creative. They want coercion. They want the punishment, then only they are going to work. So it was developing fear among the workers by the managers. By coaxing them to work, only we are going to get better productivity. This was the concept of theory X. Then what is theory Y? Theory Y, Douglas McGregor said that it is just more or less the reverse of what is theory X. Here, in this theory, the managers think that the workers are excellent people, they want to work, they are responsible people, they are creative. It is not only the managers can be creative. They know what is their responsibility, they are going to learn new things and work properly and give us the results or the goals of the organization in a better way. So one should empower them to work better. With this theory X and Y, we understood that it is theory Y which is more important for the development of people, development of employees in the organization. To empower them, they are going to be more responsible and give us better accountability for the work that they are doing, and they are going to give us innovative ideas to work better also. However, few people who are just not bothered to work, they may require theory X type of managers from whom they can get work done only by coercion. But majority of people are not like that. So this is how these theories are helping us in managing people in human resource management. Then came the Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's a pyramid which he has developed regarding hierarchy of needs. At the bottom, he says that it is the need of basic requirements of a human being like food, shelter. In case of an organization, it will be salary, wages, the basic good working conditions, etc. Then came the need of safety and security. That means one should be safe while working by having all the occupational hazards to be taken care of by the managers. Then came the third level of needs, for the sake of the workers or the employees, they want a future secured job, in a way, permanent job and the provident fund and the pension, etc. Then came the third level of need, that is affiliation needs, whereby they want to mingle with their co-workers and have cultural programs and other things. Then came the esteem need, self-esteem need, whereby people need a higher position in the organization, better office, better working conditions for them, and some secretaries, etc., to work for them. Their personal work also can be taken care of sometimes, better self-esteem. And then finally comes the self-actualization, whereby a person can have the best of their abilities to be taken, used, and best of the achievement they can make in their life. That is the self-actualization needs. So when you take care of these needs of your workers or employees, you can manage them well, and this is how human resource management can develop the people, have better production from the people, loyal people to the organization, and better goal achievement of the organization, as well as the individual goal achievement, whereby attrition rate will also reduce. So let's understand how human resource management has evolved over the period of time. As we know, 1890 to 1913, where we have seen the Industrial Revolution period and early post-industrial revolution period, we saw that the workers were being exploited. So there was a lot of revolt among the workers, and they wanted better facilities for them. They wanted better wages, and even some of them were going into addictions, etc. So it resulted in the requirement of welfare officer to take care of these workers, whereby they can develop good facilities for the workers to work, better workstations whereby the heat, dust, noise, the chemical hazards like acids, alkalis, splashes, etc., the heat in the form of the furnaces, etc., should be taken care of, better cool water, better toilet facilities. Then for the people who become addicted, psychological counseling, etc., is required. So welfare officer was the need of the hour, and that's how the development of HRM initially started with welfare officer. Then comes the development of labor unions, as we saw. When the labor unions wanted better and better salaries for the workers, even though they fight or they create some problems for their managers, they wanted them to be excused, they should not be punished. They wanted better bonuses, they wanted better working conditions, and hence there was a lot of fight between the workers' union and the managers in those days. And we have seen some of the very bad aspects of that also, like strikes and even murders. So we wanted congenial relationships, harmonious relationships between the workers and the management in the organization, and hence the development of labor management started from 1914 to 1939. And there were schools and colleges who have developed the courses for industrial relations and labor managers, like Tata Institute of Social Sciences in Bombay at Devnar. They have started this course of industrial relations and labor managers course. And there were other institutes also all over India and in the world which started this kind of courses. Then came the era of 1945 to 1979, where the service industries also have increased. Earlier it was mainly the manufacturing industries, and there were some industries who were manufacturing themselves, as well as distribution and service industries also were combined in these kind of industries, which led to various levels of employees in the organization, right from the peon or the labor to the CEO of the company, and like technical people, supervisor people, supervisory state, junior managers, assistant managers, managers, vice presidents, president, CEOs, etc. And hence every level of employees were having different kinds of requirements for them, as we saw in the Maslow's theory of hierarchy of needs. The labor people were more interested in the safety of the job and the better hygienic factors like better salary, better working conditions, etc. For the higher people, it was more of self-actualization and the self-esteem needs, which are more important. So different kind of people, the requirements were different. Different kind of people, the way they were working were different. The conceptual skills, the people management skills, the working skills as far as the welders and the fabricators and other people are concerned, or the working skills as far as the data analytics are concerned, etc., were different for different people. And hence, the concept of personnel management started initially with the taking care of the salaries, the labor laws, the attendance of the people, the performance appraisal, the training and development, etc. And finally came the era from 1990 onwards to the present, where the concept of human resource manager came in 1890, and then came the 90 onwards human capital and the human based partner. Now what we mean by that? Today's world, we are valuing the human resource as an asset rather than as something where we are having expenditure towards their salary. So some of the good companies like Wipro, Infosys, and some of the world-renowned multinational companies like HUL and others are believing that human is not a resource. It is the capital for us, it's an asset for us rather than just an expenditure. So one has to invest in human capital in the form of better skilled person, better training and development programs for them, and better mental capabilities for them to achieve better and better results in the era of liberalization, privatization, and globalization. And hence, one should invest more and more, because ultimately all the other resources one can buy, but one cannot buy the human beings. It is the intellect of the human beings which is going to utilize all the other resources, and hence they are going to be the prime people for the development of any of the organization in which they are working, for better profitability, for better market cap, etc., for the companies to achieve all the goals of the organization. So one should consider human as a capital, and hence the concept of human capital management rather than human resource management is what is happening in today's world. And one can go still one step ahead and say that it is not the human who are our capitals or resources, but they are the partners in our organization who are going to help us to reach higher and higher levels in the global scenario, and hence one can consider the employees as our partners in the organization. So that's why the concept of ESOPs have come up. What is ESOPs? Employee Stock Option Plan. What we mean by that? That means these employees become the shareholders of the company, and they are the part owners of the company. So this is the latest concept which has come up, where the better managers, higher managers, and even up to the lower level also, there are companies where they are giving ESOPs to right from labor to the top management. So one can, like Infosys, so one can feel that this company belongs to me. It is my company, and hence they are going to work better and better for the company when they own the company. They feel they have got the citizenship for the company. They have got the ownership of the company in a way, and that's how one should develop the employees, and that's how the HRM has evolved over a period of time to the present time, where we consider human resource. It is not just human resource, it is human capital. One know what is the human accountancy also, and what we mean by human resource as a partner to the company. And that's how it has been evolved over a period of time. And as we know, they are even showing in their balance sheet as assets rather than they are showing them in the profit and loss account. So let's understand how human resource management has evolved in India over a period of time. The period 1920 to 30 was beginning, where, as we know, the pragmatism of capitalists was there, where people, the capitalists, wanted maximum profit. They were not bothered for the labor's welfare. So the government has to come up with some of the labor laws. They started developing some of the labor laws pre-independence. British people have started developing, and hence there was more of emphasis was more on just, you know, statutory and partly some of the owners were paternalistic and they were looking after the like Tatas and other people, Azim Premji and all, they were more towards the welfare of the people. So some of the industrialists have started because of their philanthropic ideas and all, they developed the paternalism and the welfare of the workers. The status, of course, as far as the human resource manager is concerned, was more of a clerical type. He was just maintaining the records of the labor. They were maintaining the attendance of the labor and some part of welfare they were doing in those days. Then came the era from 1940 to 1960, where the human resource manager was struggling for the position to get established as somebody who is valuable in the organization. And it was more of technical aspect and legalistic for them. There was some of the development of techniques, how to manage the people they were developing. Then came the status of them was more of administration of these human resource. And they were more as personnel managers. So they were keeping the records of their attendance. They were, you know, calculating the salaries and wages. They were deducting the salary for the absenteeism and anything if by indisciplinary action, etc. They were taking if somebody was not following the proper discipline of the company and other things. So they were managing the personnel overworking in that. So it was more of a personnel manager. Then 70s to 80s, they started achieving some sophistication. They became professional. Now, what's the what we mean by a profession? A professional is a highly skilled person. He has learned the crux of the subject in detail. He knows exactly what are the concepts of the subject he is dealing with, what are the scientific criteria, and some of the ethical aspects also comes under that. So it started becoming more of a professional. Of course, legalistic aspect one has to deal with because the government is going to have a lot of labor laws, and new development of the labor laws and amendments of the labor laws are going on over and over, over a period of time, again and again, periodically. But at that time, they were a little impersonal to the requirement of the employees. They were more of a towards the higher management, top management, rather than towards the worker. So as far as the emphasis was there, again, it was to take care of the labor laws, so regulatory, like Factory Act, the Payment of Wages Act, the Employment Exchange Act, the Bonus Act, etc. Then confirming what is required as per the legal aspects, statutory requirement. There were imposition of standards that this is the way a person is dressed, this is the way a person is going to behave for their superiors. As far as the superiors and managers are concerned, they cannot disobey them, they cannot talk loudly in front of the supervisors, they cannot chit-chat. So it was more of an imposition of standards, and specific functions were there which they were following as a routine way. And the status was they become HR manager. Then from 1990 onwards, it's a promising status. Earlier days, if we see, the CEO of any company was either from finance department or from marketing department. But today, there are companies where we see HR manager as the CEO of the company. So it's a promising profession which has come up from 1990 onwards. The outlook is more philosophical. The emphasis is mainly on human values, better productivity, of course, through people. Then came the status. It is executive, top manager, vice president, etc. has come up with even CEO, we can see. And we are, as we saw, it is more of a human capital management rather than only human considering as a resource which we can use and throw. So it's a human capital management which has come up over a period of time. Thank you.